All right, let's start out here. I'll tip it up. The first one, and I'm probably Captain Obvious here, but Mary travels to visit Elizabeth. Okay? Mary travels to visit Elizabeth. How many here have traveled recently? How far did you go? Snows, you went all the way to Ohio. How far? That's like 10 hours or more. Western edge of Ohio is 10 hours because I've made that trip. Paula drives what, 40, is it 40 minutes or 40 miles? Minutes. So that's a ways. Okay, so traveling to us, it's not probably a huge deal. If the farther we go, it gets to be a big deal. But as we understand it here in verses 39 and 40, Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias. Now, where was she coming from? Anyone remember? Nazareth. Where is Nazareth located? Galilee. Okay, so that's it. So we fill this in. It's not in this text, but it does say when Gabriel went to visit Mary, it was in Nazareth of Galilee. So she's coming from Nazareth. Where's Galilee? Where's the region of Galilee, the province of Galilee? Okay, remember you have Galilee in the northern part of Israel, and then you have Samaria, and then you have Judah. Okay? Just as a general breakdown. Okay? So remember Jesus, they wouldn't go through Samaria, and Jesus would, right? Galilee, Samaria, Judah. Okay? So letter A, she came from Nazareth, and she's coming from the north to a city in Judah. So she's coming from the north and traveling all the way to the south. Okay? And she's going uphill. It's very hilly there, okay? It says to the hill country. Okay? And she goes in haste. What does haste mean? Quickly, fast. Okay, so I don't know if she's walking quickly or she left quickly, but it sounds like she took off and kept going quickly. Okay? All right? She made a quick trip. Just to give you an idea, that's why I was asking a little earlier. The trip would have been roughly 80 to 100 miles. No buses, no taxis, no cars, no bicycles. We don't know how she made the trip. Did she hire something? Did she walk? Can you imagine how long it would take you to walk 80 miles? And some of you would say, that would never happen, never end, you know. 20 miles a day is a rapid pace, very fast pace. If you can walk 20 miles a day, if you could ride or something, especially if you're going uphill, can you imagine that? So it's easily 3 to 4 days. If you're someone that's used to walking, you could probably do it in 4 days. Okay, and it could be 4 to 5 days if it was closer to 100 miles, because we don't know where in Judah. It doesn't say, just the city in Judah. That's where, letter D here, to the house of Zacharias. Remember, Zacharias was serving in Jerusalem, and then he went back home when his time was up to do that, when his turn, his group was up. So she went from Nazareth to a city in Judah in haste, in the hill country, to the house of Zacharias. Okay, and we know who Zacharias is. He's the husband of Elizabeth, and he's the father of the yet unborn John, sometimes called John the Baptist, who Gabriel told him about, right? He didn't have much to say when she showed up. Did you notice that when they were reading? Why? He's still mute, right? He can't talk. So he had no conversation here, okay? Let's look at number two now. You have two responses to Mary's greeting. I put the greeting part down. Look in the box on the left there. She went to the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary. When she heard the greeting of Mary. So did Zacharias go to the door? It sounds like she heard before she saw. But she heard the greeting of Mary, or was she hollering from down the road? We're not really sure. But when she heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb. Inside of Mary's womb, the baby leaped. The infant John the Baptizer, okay? And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, so let's look at two responses of Mary's greeting. Two responses of Mary's greeting. What happened when Mary greeted Elizabeth? Well, two things here. Elizabeth's baby leaped. Okay? Who was Elizabeth's baby again? John. Okay, he hadn't been given the name yet personally, but the angel said they would always name him like 8 days after he was born. But that's the one that Gabriel said he would be named John. The baby leaped. Okay? When Elizabeth heard the greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And it sounds like more than just a small kick, right? A leap, something significant, unusual. The second thing here, the second response to Mary's greeting is that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember, in the Old Testament era, and by the way, this is still the Old Testament era, even though it's a New Testament book, Jesus hadn't died on the cross yet, the veil had not been torn, and the Holy Spirit had not come as promised to the church, and the church had not been created yet. So it's still the Old Testament. All believers did not have the Holy Spirit, and oftentimes they did not have the Holy Spirit permanently. Okay, the church is placed into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit and indwelt and sealed by the Holy Spirit, unlike the Old Testament. Permanent indwelling, permanent abiding of the Holy Spirit. So this is significant here. The Holy Spirit fills her, or the idea of fill is control. Okay, we're commanded to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Filled or controlled by the Holy Spirit. Okay. Now, we'll get into it more because she reviews this a little bit. But the Holy Spirit seems to give her information that she did not know before. She was given revelation from God, if you will. Okay. Remember, Mary, it sounds like right after she was told, you know, a short time after she was told about she was going to bear the Son of God, and Gabriel told her that Elizabeth has also become pregnant with God, nothing will be impossible, right? That's what we talked about Sunday. Then Mary takes off and heads to cousin Elizabeth. Probably not just a cousin, but some kind of relative. So two responses. She hurries to Elizabeth, 80 to 100 miles away, so probably close to a week of travel. She greets her, okay? Then, because Mary is filled with the Holy Spirit, God gives her information that apparently she didn't know before. How would you communicate with somebody that was 80 to 100 miles away during Bible time? Can I suggest that you probably didn't? Okay, there probably wasn't a mail service like we have today. I always find it fascinating. Is it 49 cents now for a first class letter? Something like that? 49 cents, and I can communicate with somebody thousands of miles away. That's still pretty cheap to me, right? That you can write a letter and somebody will make sure it gets there at the other end. You don't have that in Bible times. They had no phones. They had no, you know, means of communication at all, unless somebody traveled and there was no reason to move you. You're earning a living. You're trying to stay alive wherever you're at. So there's probably very little interaction with distant relatives, okay, that relatives that are far away from you. Let's look at number three now. The Holy Spirit fills Elizabeth, and she gives four blessings. Four blessings. Let me read these verses again. Then she spoke out with a loud voice. I mean, she was excited. You could even translate it. She cried out with a loud voice and said, and you might want to underline the word blessed or blessed, okay? It occurs three times, though it's slightly different in one of them. But blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Okay? So let me break this down a little bit. Okay? The first two come very rapidly. She says, blessed are you among women. So I put Mary is blessed, and I've kind of enhanced what she's meaning here. Okay? She's blessed as the mother of the Messiah. As I understand it, Elizabeth was not told before this. The Holy Spirit revealed it to her as Mary is walking up to the door. Okay? She's getting direct revelation from God at this point, and she identifies Mary as the mother of the Messiah, the promised one of God. Messiah is the Old Testament term for Christ in the New Testament. The anointed one of God. The one that God had promised that he would send as the ruler and savior. Okay? So she said, blessed are you among women. And it's blessed among all other women. Okay, that's the idea. The word blessed here is, we get the word eulogy from it. Eulogeo, it's to speak well of. You are blessed. And the implication is by God. And if I recall, it's having been blessed. It's a perfect tense. So it's something that has already happened that Elizabeth is just recognizing has taken place here, okay? And it's something that has happened to Mary. Okay, it's not something Mary did. It's something that because that Mary is carrying the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God in her womb, she is blessed. She's going to be the one that bears the Son of God as Gabriel promised. And again, Mary is carrying the Son of God in her womb now, right? So Mary is blessed as the mother of the Messiah. Then she says, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. So Mary's child is blessed. Okay? It's your, because of your position and function, you are a blessed woman above all other women, and your child is also blessed among all other children. Why? Because he's the Son of God. And she goes and explains this, okay? The third thing, and she doesn't use the term blessed for herself, but she talks about herself. So Elizabeth is blessed. And I don't have this on the slide, but she gives two reasons here. Okay, the first one, well, a reason and the evidence. Verse 43 says, but why is this granted to me? Why would I, as a lowly woman, a wife of a priest, among all the people that have ever lived on the earth, right? Why would I be able to be in this situation where I meet the mother of what? What does it say there? She understands that the baby in Mary's womb is the Lord without having been told. Okay? And she said, why, who am I that I should get this privilege? Is kind of another way to say it. Okay? Who am I that I should be able to experience something this amazing? So I'm saying she's claiming to be blessed also. I am experiencing something that most people will never experience. I have had the mother of my Lord come to me, okay? And then verse 44, I call it the evidence, for indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, and again, it sounds like Mary might have said, you know, cousin Elizabeth or relative Elizabeth, I'm here, Mary is here to visit you or whatever, that as soon as it hit her ears, the babe leaped in my womb. Notice this, the babe leaped for joy. The Bible says, in fact, Gabriel told Zacharias that the baby would be filled with the Holy Spirit from the womb. Talking of John the Baptizer. He recognized somehow, okay, that the Lord Jesus was in his midst, even as an infant, in the womb of Mary. Okay, one infant recognizing the presence and existence and deity of the other baby. Now that isn't normal, but John was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb, the Bible says. Okay, but he leapt for joy. The reason for his existence was in his presence. Okay, so Elizabeth is blessed. Even though it doesn't use the word blessed, she identifies it as, I have come to know this, I have come to see you, and I've come to understand this. Right? Without anybody telling me, the Holy Spirit reveals this to her. And so therefore she's blessed. The last one here, Mary is blessed for a different reason also. Because she believed. Notice it says here, blessed is she who believed. Remember, we said that Zacharias questioned in unbelief. There's no way this is going to happen, right? And Gabriel said, I'm Gabriel, the one who stands before the Lord. And he sent me to do this. But because you didn't believe, you're going to be mute until your son is born. Mary was questioning the mechanics of it, not that it couldn't happen, but how is it going to happen? Her question was a question of belief, and then a willingness to say, may it be, you know, let what God has uttered, may it come to pass. I am the slave of the Lord. Okay? So blessed is she who believed. And notice why, because for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Again, Elizabeth has not had any conversation with Mary yet. And yet she knows that God has told Mary things that Mary has believed. Pretty amazing. Now this word, I told you it's a little different. This is Makaria. Makari is named after this word. It's the same word for the Beatitudes, Makarios. This is Makaria. It's a little different. But it's blessed as in happy or enjoying. Okay? So there's eulogeo, which is to bless someone with speech. Makarios is the idea of being in a state of blessedness. Okay, so I don't know why it uses a different term, but it, even though it uses the same English term, they're completely different Greek terms. And they have a, you're in, you are in a state of blessing or happiness because you believe what God has said. And it's, you are already blessed. Okay? So that's kind of interesting there. But again, Elizabeth appears to have gotten all this information directly from God through the Holy Spirit. That Mary was expecting, that Mary was the mother of the, if you will, the incarnate, the infleshed Son of God, and that the baby within Mary's womb was indeed the Son of God. That Elizabeth got to meet the mother of her Lord, and the baby again, her baby recognized Mary's baby via a leap in her womb, and the baby leapt for joy, not just some freak kick. And then she also, Elizabeth also understood without having been told that Mary had believed what God had told her. Okay? Pretty amazing things here. Okay? So four blessings of Elizabeth. Now, let's go one more here. It's interesting, but Mary responds. This is sometimes known as the Magnificat. That's not a word we use a lot. It's an old term. But Mary's five-part praise. Mary responds. Notice it says here, it says, and Mary said, and then she goes on to praise God for five different things. Okay? First off, let's look at her specific actions. I thought this was worth pointing out. Her specific actions. She says, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Okay? A couple things, and I can't fully explain them, but this is present tense. My soul is magnifying the Lord. Notice here too, it's good to have them listed this way. Soul is used here, spirit is used here. Not sure why. They're probably used somewhat interchangeably. Okay? Notice here, the Lord and God my Savior. All right? Could possibly be using it the same thing. Okay? But my soul magnifies the Lord. Is she talking about God in heaven or the Son of God in her womb? We don't really know, and I don't know that it really matters because God is one, right? There's three persons but one God. But she is magnifying the Lord. She's it uses the word mega in it, which is the word great, actually. But I make great, or I enhance, or I magnify the Lord. My soul is magnifying the Lord. And it says, my spirit has rejoiced. This is aorist. If you're familiar with the Greek, if you will, simple past tense, though I know it's aorist really means without time, interestingly enough. But it kind of gives the idea of past tense, but it's almost like she's rested. The concept of rejoicing is the idea not of necessarily being happy in a temporary, I'm happy now, but I'm not happy later, but I am like satisfied in the Lord. And it's using it in a past tense, which could mean that, you know, I have rested in what God has said. Okay? So my spirit rejoiced in God my Savior, my soul magnifies the Lord. All right? Next now, her specific praises is what I want to point out here. And honestly, this, I don't know, it's not impossible to translate, but she really talks about several different things that you're like, this is kind of weird. What she talks about, I don't know, let's guess, but women who are expecting a baby usually talk about what? Their baby. Okay? And I'm saying that's normal, you know, and when you get with another woman that's expecting a baby, that like magnifies that intensity by, you know, 100-fold, right? And then even after the baby's born, it's kind of the same thing. But it's interesting, she doesn't really speak about the baby so much. I mean, indirectly so, but she talks about God. Okay? So let's look at these one at a time here. The first thing she praises God for is what God has done for her. What God has done for her, herself, okay? Let me read this for you here. It's verses 48 and 49 here. It says, "For he," speaking of God, you know, she magnifies the Lord, "and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant." Does anyone remember what I said when Mary said, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord"? What that word was? Slave. This is the same word. It's doule. A female slave. "Behold the maidservant of the Lord." That's what she said. And she said, "For he has regarded the lowly state of his slave girl." And it's not a derogatory statement. It's a state of humility. That I am whatever God wants me to be. Paul used this word often, but for himself, saying, "I am the slave of the Lord." Okay? But God has paid attention to me, who is willing to be whatever he wants. Okay? The lowly state, she was a nobody as far as anybody else was concerned. God picked her out of everyone. And she was just a humble gal. "For behold, henceforth," this is what now he's regarded her, and he kind of identifies what that is. "For behold, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed." Okay, because of the fact that she has borne the Son of God. There's only one woman that has ever had that blessing and that experience, and that is Mary herself, okay? So she'll have this eternal reputation. All generations will call her blessed because by means of her, the Son of God took on flesh and dwelt among us, okay? Enabling him to be our Savior. So that's verse 48 here. I'm just looking curious off the top of my head. It uses the verb form of that word, makarios, there, interestingly enough. From now on, people will see me as in a state of blessing because of what God has chosen me to do. Okay? "For he..." Now, this is this next one here, and they kind of overlap a little bit, but I don't think you can identify it any other way. But the second one here is for who God is. She praises God for what God has done for her, and then praises God for who God is. Okay, and look at verse 49, and she's still talking about herself, but then she relates at least three different characteristics of God. Notice here, verse 49, "For he who is mighty..." Talking about the power of God, "has done great things for me." By the way, it's interesting that it uses that word megala, which is kind of part of that magnified term. So it's kind of not a play on words, but it's just the same thing. I'm making him great because of the great things he's done. Okay. "He's done great things for me, and holy is his name." So identifies his greatness, his holiness. He has done everything in a way that is extremely holy. And verse 50 here, "and on his mercy," it talks about his mercy. as the third aspect, but that also overlaps with the next one, so I'll go on here. She thanks God, praises God for God's mercy on those that fear Him. Now remember Sunday, I mentioned this. Gabriel said to Mary, you are highly favored one. Remember that? Highly graced or highly favored. And we said it's like Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And I said there's two parts of that. One is there's grace of salvation that you do not do anything to earn. But there's also a favor that God bestows upon people because of what they do. Noah was a righteous man and he found favor or grace in the eyes of the Lord. Mary was selected because of her purity and her walk with God. And she relates that here. Okay, notice what it says here. It says, his mercy, it's not like, again, that you deserve what God does for you, but his mercy is on those, what? On whom? Those who fear him. Now listen closely. She's drawing a line in one sense. God's mercy is not on those who do not fear him. Do you understand that? In a practical sense, that doesn't mean God doesn't have the right or the power to do whatever he wants with anyone. Okay? Understand, I'm not removing that from God. But understand that you can walk, as Paul would say, pleasing to the Lord in all things. Or not. And Mary infers here that God has had mercy on her because she feared him. And that is true upon all who fear him. Okay? His mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. Okay, so it's not just her. It's God is merciful on all who fear him. Okay? And I believe that the opposite is true if we reject God's direction in our lives, if we refuse to follow his commandments, God, we become his enemy. As James says, you adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is violent opposition with God? You've made yourself contrary to God, the enemy of God, it says in James 4. In a functional, practical way, even though you're part of the family of God, you end up being his enemy in a functional way. And this is true, the opposite. You walk with God, even though it's an imperfect walk, God's mercy is on you when you fear him, when you walk with him, as opposed to when you don't, okay? So God's mercy is on those that fear him. She praises God for that. The fourth thing she praises God for is God's power over circumstances. And again, this seems rather strange, but hopefully it'll give you a little bit of hope and peace in this. But let me read it. It's not an enjoyable read, really. But it says here in verse 51, he has shown strength with his arm. He has, notice here, there's several contrasts now. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. That's something that's not good for them. But it's an act of judgment on the proud. He's scattered those that are proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones. I don't know if you recall, but Gabriel said, the one that you will bear will be on the throne of his father David, and of his kingdom there will be no end. She's looking ahead and saying, he is flipping this upside down. Okay? He has put down the mighty from their thrones and, notice here, exalted the lowly. Jesus will go on to teach that the poor in spirit will inherit the kingdom of God. Okay? The idea of those that are humble rather than proud. So God has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. So that seems to be almost a political reversal, if you will. God's power over circumstances. So God rules in the affairs of men. He controls kings and kingdoms. And ultimately, the Son of God, whom Mary will bear, will become the King of kings, and of His kingdom there will be no end. Okay? So He will reverse the circumstances, and God has already, in essence, done that because of His action toward Mary. Okay? It's the beginning of the end. And then notice here, more of a social direction. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. The contrast there. Those in thrones, He's going to bring down. Those that are lowly, He's going to lift up. Those that are hungry, He will fill. Those that have everything are going to walk away with nothing. God is going to right everything. And listen, the fact that Jesus came the first time is, if you will, Him signing the check for what He's promised to do all along in the Old Testament. It's not that God's word wasn't good, but now it's done in essence. And in Mary's mind, it is complete because here's the Savior, and it's the beginning of the end. After all of the years of promise, it's the beginning of the end. It's now as good as done. The power of God over circumstances. And if I can encourage you in this way, our life's circumstances are temporary. God fixes everything in the end. Okay? If you've suffered for the Lord, you will be rewarded for that. If you've given up, God will reward you and repay you for that. Okay? On the contrary, those that have rebelled against God, God will repay them for that. Okay? He will, the people that think they've gotten away with something will not get away with it. All right? And again, we're not circumventing what God says. If you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive. We're not saying that you'll have to pay for something. But if you refuse to acknowledge God in your life, there's a, for believers, there's a loss of rewards. For unbelievers, there's a deepening of eternal punishment. Okay? So God, or Mary praises God for His power over circumstances. Okay? It's the beginning of the end. And lastly, here in this point, it's interesting, but she shifts gears again, but they're all connected for God's faithfulness to Israel. She praises God for His faithfulness to Israel. And you're like, what? You know, Elizabeth just said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, and I can't believe this is happening to me, and you're blessed because you believed God. And Mary's response is, praise God for this, and praise God for this, and praise God for this, and praise God for this. And they're not, they're all connected to her baby, the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's much bigger, it's the bigger picture beyond the baby, if you will. It's God finishing what He starts, in essence. Notice here in the last part here, verses 54 and 55. He, God, has helped His servant Israel. Interesting, it's past tense here. In remembrance of His mercy. There's that idea of mercy again. And He spoke to, as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. She's basically bringing up the idea that God, through her baby, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is affirming and completing, if you will, the covenant that God made to Abraham. And by your, through your seed, all of the nations of the world will be blessed. And she's saying, God has kept that covenant here. Okay, so it's like, how do these things connect with the baby? Every one of them connects with the baby. What God has done to her, who God is, he's still the same God who's merciful, he's powerful. He's one that has mercy on everyone. And she's, I believe she's referring to herself, that God has had mercy on me because I fear him. And the same is true for you, everyone who fears him. God's power over circumstances, the beginning of the end with the coming of the Messiah. Everything will be righted. All sin will be punished. All pride will be brought down. Everyone lowly will be brought up. Even all the social things will be fixed eventually because of Jesus coming. And God has been faithful in keeping his promises to Israel all these many years, from Abraham all the way down to, there's Mary, who, by the way, is a descendant of Abraham, but Isaac, Jacob, all the way down to David and beyond. And he, God has kept his promise of that covenant. Okay? Lastly here, kind of an almost a non-event, but it's part of the chronology, part of the account here, but Mary's time and return. It gives us two pieces of information here in verse 56. And Mary remained with her, with Elizabeth, about 3 months. Okay, let's stop there. That we're talking about the time. How far along was Elizabeth when Gabriel visited Mary? 6 months. She travels south, uphill, south, 4 or 5 days. Sounds like she went probably right away and traveled as quickly as possible. She gets there and she's there for 3 months. The next verse talks about John being born, and we aren't covering that tonight. But we don't know if Mary stayed until John was born or if she left right before he was born. Okay, it's not unlikely that she stayed and then left after the baby was born. Okay, by then, how long would Mary, how far along would she be? Yeah, 3+ months, right? Okay, so not hard to figure, but it gives you that idea here. So, and then she returned to where? Her house. Some people wrestle with the idea of the chronology of what happened first. She went to her house, not to Joseph's house. She wasn't married yet, right? In fact, Joseph did not know yet that she was expecting. As we understand it, we don't even know if Mary told him. Because how would you tell him, right? So she was just 3 months along, and somewhere along the way, maybe after she started showing or something, then it became evident, and then Joseph thought that she had been immoral, and so he sought to put her away, right? So anyway, so Mary's time and return. So that's where we're at right now, okay? So Gabriel went to Zacharias and said, you're going to have a son. He'll prepare the way of the Lord. Gabriel goes 6 months later to Mary and says, you are going to bear the Son of God. And then Elizabeth, your relative, is in her old age, has conceived, and she's 6 months along. So Mary here hightails it there. As soon as Elizabeth hears, the baby leaps in her womb. Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. She declares the four blessings, as I call them. Mary responds with five praises to the Lord. She's there for 3 months. They could talk all they wanted, right? because Zacharias wasn't going to interrupt him, right? And then she goes back home, all right? Again, it doesn't sound like she's so young that she's not traveling on her own as far as her age. So it doesn't sound like she's, you know, real super young or whatever. But anyway, we don't know for sure how old Mary was. Questions or comments about this particular passage or what we've covered so far? Rather interesting, isn't it? It's like going through Leviticus. It's like, in my mind, I'm like, I don't know that I'd ever want to chew through Luke. But now that I'm chewing, it's pretty good. I'm enjoying it, just the little things as well as the big things. So if you don't like it, blame Ethan. It was his idea. Okay? I'll leave you with that. Okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the book of Luke. Thank you for how you recorded it in such a detailed way for us to have this account. And Lord, we know there's a lot that seems to be lost just because of our... Lord, there's so much that we don't understand and therefore we don't piece together. There's probably even more that would just like wow us if we understood just the various pieces that go together from the Old Testament. Lord, it seems like Mary recited some of the Old Testament even while she's responding and how much she's been trained. But Lord, there's just so much. I pray, Lord, that you would give us an enjoyment and endurance and a depth as we understand and study the book of Luke. And I just thank you for the privilege of being able to do so tonight. We pray for your blessing on our lives as we seek to walk with you, as we fear you. We look for your mercy. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.